Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Call into us today for your flu and COVID vaccines at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar is in Granada in southern Spain today for 2 days of discussions with continental and EU leaders, including the British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. 47 European states will gather at the European Political Community, which was established last year after the Russian invasion of Ukraine. A number of issues are up for discussion, including Russia's invasion of Ukraine, EU enlargement, the migration crisis, and also rapid technological change. Well, Naomi O'Leary, Europe correspondent with the Irish Times, is there and is on the line now. And Naomi, I understand that the Taoiseach has been speaking to yourself and other reporters just in the last couple of minutes. What was he asked and what did he have to say?
That's right. So we just had Taoiseach Leo Varadkar arrive and take some questions from the press here. And he was asked a mix of domestic and international questions. On the budget, he was pressed on whether there would be supports for cost of living. And he said that although the details haven't been worked out yet, that people could expect some manner of support on energy costs this winter, and that would be determined. And he was also asked about what his meeting with the British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak would focus on today, and he said that they would be addressing talks with the DUP and how progress is going on convincing them to return to power sharing in Stormont, as well as talking about the logistics of the 2028 UEFA contest which Ireland and the UK are to host. So a number of different issues. Migration is also on the agenda, as well as Ukraine's hopes of joining the EU, and he was asked about those things as well.
Okay, and we'll discuss those in a little more detail. We were talking about Euro 2028 a little earlier and the controversy around Casement Park, so we're likely to hear more, I'm sure, from the Taoiseach on that one as time goes on. Now, this political forum that they're all at today, this is a pet project of the French President Emmanuel Macron. There were two meetings last year that were deemed a success, but what is happening there today, Naomi?
The idea is that this is a way to bring together pretty much all the European countries that aren't Russia to try to get them to discuss security questions together, strategic questions, and for it to be a place where countries that are not in the EU or no longer in the EU can come together with the EU countries and examine questions of common interest. So it was quite a useful forum in the wake of the invasion of Ukraine, and we had Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky here a few minutes ago talking to press. But there's been some criticism of its efficacy now because it's been unsuccessful in brokering talks between Armenia and Azerbaijan. We had a mass expulsion or a fleeing of people from the area of Nagorno-Karabakh, and this forum hasn't been successful in bringing together those sides for talks. So there's questions now about, you know, whether it's really managing to meet expectations.
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow then there will be discussion on the enlargement of the EU and what that might look like. That's really about Ukraine, isn't it, and its possible accession to the bloc.
That's right. So Russia's invasion of Ukraine really revived the idea of expanding the EU. That had been pretty much dead for many years because there'd been enlargement fatigue. But suddenly the invasion of Ukraine made it very concrete why countries that are not in the EU hope to join it. And Ukraine has, you know, really pushed for membership talks to take place as soon as possible and potentially start by the end of this year. Ireland is a very strong supporter of Ukraine's membership. I asked the Taoiseach about whether the costs that would be associated with adding Ukraine into the EU put a dampener at all on Ireland's support, and he said we needed to look at this in the bigger picture, that Ukraine would also contribute to the EU and contribute to its overall security and would become prosperous just like Ireland became prosperous when it joined the EU. There's also a big question about whether the EU needs to change in order to accept more members. So those internal reforms are very much being considered at the moment.
And Naomi, migration, I know there was a big development on that front yesterday. The Taoiseach, I think you said at the beginning, was asked about migration. Did he have anything in particular to say about that?
That's right. So we saw a breakthrough this week between diplomats on how to move forward on a big migration reform that the EU has been trying to agree for years. Last night was there was an agreement on how to manage crisis situations when states face really large numbers of arrivals. And there was a breakthrough on that, which was really the last piece of the puzzle. Now, the Taoiseach was pressed on what Ireland's contribution would be. Would it mean that Ireland would have to take in asylum seekers from states like Italy and Greece that face really, really large numbers of arrivals because of their geography, their situation on the border. And he said that's not what's expected, that Ireland, you know, takes in plenty of people, and that instead we would probably choose to make a financial contribution. So that's what he suggested. All of the details still need to be hammered out in negotiations between the 27 member states and the European Parliament.
Okay, now there's a lot of interest as well around funding for Ukraine. We know the United States stripped that funding from its spending bill. That was to avoid government shutdown earlier in the week. And President Biden has said that he's not going to walk away from Ukraine. But do you sense there is a nervousness around that funding building in Europe?
Yes, there is nervousness. Everybody is insisting that, you know, support for Ukraine is as strong as ever. But there's a new, urgency to those declarations because of what happened in the United States. It's sort of a warning as to what could happen with all the elections coming next year. The US will vote. There's a large Ukraine skeptic contingent in the Republican Party that, you know, if successful, would strip funding from Ukraine. And within Europe as well, there's a number of key elections, and, you know, there's concerns that Ukraine fatigue could feed into maybe undermining support. So we had Volodymyr Zelensky here this morning, and he was asked about this, and he said that, you know, he understands it's a difficult political moment in Washington, and that's where this is coming from. He also said that, you know, he expects that this winter is going to be really difficult for Ukraine. He expects that Russia will step up attacks on things like Ukraine's energy infrastructure, and he's really hoping for support for civil infrastructure like that, just to try to keep people warm in their homes, and so that people can choose to keep living in Ukraine and not leave if they can.
What's your sense of that occasion and that event and its importance, Naomi? Because you did explain to us earlier that some leaders hadn't arrived, a deal hasn't been brokered on Nagorno-Karabakh and won't be because of the absence of the key players. Do you think that meeting is as important as it was envisaged when the decision was first arrived at to hold these summits?
Yeah, I think it's a blow that there hasn't been success in brokering an agreement on between Azerbaijan and Armenia, or bringing them together for talks. There's still a chance for this format to be resuscitated. But what you hear a lot of people saying is that, you know, the format isn't what's important so much as the results. So, you know, whether it's here in the European political community or at school, or whether it's somewhere else, it's actually the outcomes that matter the most. And that's what's really lacking, because it's not just, you know, the European powers who have failed here. It's also the United Nations. The United Nations is created, its raison d'etre is to prevent situations like ethnic cleansing, like so many thousands of people having to leave their homes because they're afraid. And so, there was obviously a massive failure to avoid that outcome here. And that's, you know, something that's, you know, is on the shoulders of international leaders.
Naomi, thank you for taking time out of what I'm sure is a very busy day there in Granada in southern Spain. That's Naomi O'Leary, Europe correspondent with the Irish Times. Coming up next on the programme, Joanna Donnelly will be joining me here in the studio to talk about her brand new book. It's called From Malinhead to Mizzenhead.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.